Welcome to Calvary Cares, hosted by Curtis Dias, president of the Calvary Care Center in East Freetown, on FM 95.9, AM 1480, WSAR.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Calvary Cares Radio Hour. As you know, my name is Curtis Dias. I am the president of Calvary Cares Drop-In Center, and we're located at 33 Burley Road. And every Saturday from 3 to 4 o'clock, we come on and do a program about how to overcome opiate use disorder, substance abuse disorder, how to help people in our community that has problems with cocaine, crack, heroin, full-blown AIDS, and different things like that. And we're a program that reaches the lost at any cost. I mean, we love saving people's life, one person's life at a time. We're a special kind of program, a program that really talks, you know, about the real deal of life, because we know there's a lot of people in our community that are sick and suffering. And maybe you're a family member in Westport and Somerset and Seekonk and Fall River and Taunton and New Bedford and all the surrounding areas. We know we have a lot of family members that are sick and suffering. And today, our program is going to talk about Calvary Cares Drop-In Center, how we help people that has a problem with addictions of all kind, you know, different pathways of being successful. If you need to call our program and want to talk to me one-on-one, we invite you to call 508-673-1480. If you have any questions or anything like that, I just want to give you a little background about Calvary Cares Drop-In Center. If you ever have a need in the community and you want to drop on in, we're located at 33 Burley Road in East Freetown. We're available Monday through Friday and beyond. And some of the things that we do at Calvary Cares Drop-In Center, we help out people in our community. When I say our community, I'm talking about Freetown, Lakeville, Berkeley, Dayton, Taunton, Fall River, all the surrounding areas. And we help out a lot of people like veterans, senior citizens, council of age, and all that. Some of the services that we render to people free of charge is health insurance navigation. What does that mean? That means if you don't have Blue Cross, Blue Shield, Harvard, Pilgrim, Tough, all the major insurances, you can come to our office and drop on in, and we will do an intake with you, and we would assist you and guide you so you get Mass Health, so you get your own doctor, so you can go to a dentist, you can go get eyeglasses and everything else. Another thing that we're really big on is harm reduction services. We give out like combs and toothbrushes and all kinds of supplies and hats and tents and everything like that. So we do harm reduction. We give out Narcan also. But what we really are known for are mental health counseling. We have a group called Burns and Forts Counseling. And what they do, they have their master's degree in counseling and also psychology. And so we have a place. If you have somebody that's sick and suffering and they're, you know, overwhelmed with stress, anxiety, they're burnt out, they're worn out, you know what I mean? They got OCD or intrusive thoughts of all kinds, psychologically and mentally. We have Burns and Forts. They're licensed by the Bureau of Substance Abuse, and we send them there, and they can get one-on-one counseling. We have grief counseling. We do a suicide counseling also, and this is all free. We have overdose education programs, Narcan distribution, peer group support, and medication for opiate use disorder. We believe there's many pathways to recovery. So you might have a son, you might have a daughter, you might have a nephew or a husband or a wife that's sick and suffering, and they're addicted to cocaine or crack or oxycodone or Percodans or Percocets, and they don't know how to get off of it. We believe that there's many pathways to recovery at Calvary Cares Drop-In Center. And what we do at Calvary Cares Drop-In Center, we educate people, we empower people, we help people. So if you live in Fall River or New Bedford or all the surrounding areas and you want to say, man, I think my sons and daughters have messed up, and I see their eyes are all red and bloodshot and all that. They're acting different and everything like that. I need some information how I can help them and how I can assist them. Then I would invite you to come on in and drop in at Calvary Care Drop-In Center. We're located at 33 Braley Road, and we'll be able to help you and assist you in any way we can. Today, I have the great privilege of having my brother here, and my brother's name is Sean Dias. And he's in recovery. He's been in recovery over 3 decades, and I'm glad he's here. And I just want him to introduce himself and tell us a little bit of background of yourself. And, you know, tell him about your lived experience, your life experience, and your professional experience and kind of work you do with people in our community. Welcome to the program, Sean.
Well, thank you, Curtis. Let me just settle in for a minute. I get nervous on this platform because I have to be vulnerable, probably share some experience, strength, and hope. And it never comes easy. You know what I mean? Because there's usually some pain, some discomfort. But, you know, somebody did it for me, so that's why I have to be willing to do it for somebody else, you know? Where do you want to start? Where do you want to get
into? You know, there's people that's in their cars, in the home, listening to the program. You know, why don't you just give a little background? You know, you're doing very well now. Tell them, let's go back and tell them the days that you were sick and suffering. Tell them the beginnings when you first was addicted to drugs. Now, how did you get addicted? You know, what was your life experience? And you know, and tell them how you came out. Now, there's many pathways to recovery. Now, I took the pathway of religion. I took the pathway of going to church and reading the scriptures and all that. Now, on this radio program, we know there's many, many pathways to recovery. Now, your pathway came through. Tell the people how your pathway came and how you get delivered and whole and complete from drugs and alcohol and everything else.
All right. That's easy enough. I got into the program. I knew a little bit about N.A. Through my older brother who had messed with N.A. years ago. And that's before N.A. really took off. N.A. wasn't huge around the Taunton area. Matter of fact, it was scattered. If you wanted to go to a meeting, chances are you would have to travel a good distance. Unlike today where the N.A. pretty much in every one of your towns are available. Back then, it wasn't sociably accepted. You know, everybody had knew about A.A., but when it came to N.A., I don't want to say that the people for N.A. were shunned, but we were looked at differently than your typical alcoholic. Because alcohol has been accepted in our society for so long, it's not as much frowned upon as if your addict who came in for help and stuff like that. And you always felt like you were treated differently at some of these other 12-step meetings, like you were shunned off, like you weren't as well, like we were worse than. And they always got that feeling that the addict was worse than, that they didn't belong in society, whatever the misconceptions were. And N.A. had brought a place where the addict could come in and not talk about a substance. It was no longer about a substance that we're out of control.
Now, Sean, tell us, those that's listening in the community, what was your home group in N.A.? And when did you realize that you were an addict and you were powerless and your life was unmanageable? We know N.A., A.A., C.A., 12-step program. They have different programs, but in your situation, what the first steps I had to admit that I'm powerless and my life has been unmanageable. When did you ever realize that you say, I am an addict? And how do you, because you come from a good background, you always worked, you graduated high school, right? Give us a little description of what happened.
I came into the program just like everybody else on that pain train. My life was unmanageable. If I didn't believe it, my job was telling me that my life was unmanageable. If I didn't believe it again, my family members were telling me my life was unmanageable. If I didn't believe it again, the judge was telling me that my life was unmanageable, that he was planning on locking me up, you know, and I always knew I was smarter than that. That I wasn't going to let that happen to me. Mm-hmm. And the last time I went in front of that judge, he says, "You keep on coming in front of me with all these elaborate stories and stuff like that, but you're in front of me, and the other person that you're getting a fight with was at the hospital, but you're always the victim, you know." And they were sick and tired of seeing me, and they backed me in the corner, and asked me what I was willing to do, because they were trying to send me to jail, you know what I mean, to get me off the streets and to stop doing some of the things that I was doing. I got in a program like everybody else on that pain train. It wasn't easy, but I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I got tired of paying a high price for a low living. And thank God to me that I watched you get clean, even though you took a different route. You went the religious route, but then again, you always had that peace in you. A lot of these people don't understand Curtis is their pastor and stuff, but he's my brother. You know what I mean? So he's my older brother, and I know his life story. I lived it with him, and I watched what he had to go through. But he always had that religious peace, and I didn't have that convenience of going away for a long period of time and taking that religious just to work on me, because I had a real job with real responsibilities with a real child that I had to support. So I didn't have the ability to go away for a long period of time. The hardest thing I ever did was turn myself into a detox and to admit that I had a problem with substance abuse. See, I came up Cape Verdean and stuff like you did, and alcoholism was such a big part of our story in our lives. I had learned to accept at an early age that most likely I am going to become an alcoholic, and it did just that. You know, growing up as a kid, as a Cape Verdean kid, all the Cape Verdean guys that I saw, in my experience, that they lived like two lives. They usually had two jobs, one job to take care of the family and everything else, and then their second job was for them to do whatever they felt they wanted to do. I had a lot of misconceptions of what a man was, what a man was supposed to be, and not until I got into the halls of NA did I realize that my thinking was backwards. All my thinking was backwards. All the things that I came into those halls believing really weren't going to help me going forward.
We have 2 minutes before our first commercial break. But when you went in the halls of NA, was you addicted? Was you in bondage? Was you, you know, severely depressed, listless, confused? You know, I know when we grow up, it was common to go to drink and keg parties and you know, you smoking marijuana with Bob Marley and the Wailers. And, you know, when I was younger, I was introduced to drugs, alcohol, Percodans, Percocets, windowpane, acid, Quaaludes, mescaline, and stuff like that. It was part of our life. And it was part of our culture. As being a Cape Verdean man, you know, they drank when funerals or weddings or dedications. I was addicted to alcoholism at the age of 13, and I found myself in severe alcoholism. And it might be have some people in the community that have sons and daughters and from Taunton and Fall River and Berkeley and surrounding areas that they have sons and daughters that are addicted to drugs and alcohol.
And sure enough, right after this first break, we'll get into that a little bit more. But yeah, we can get into all that stuff this afternoon. Mm-hmm.
Is there hope for a person that's addicted to drugs and alcohol?
There sure is.
All right, good. We'll be going to our first break, and we ask you to come. Call 508-673-1480. 508-673-1480 if you have any questions, if you want, just call in to the studio. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to Calvary Cares, hosted by Curtis Dias, president of the Calvary Care Center in East Freetown, on FM 95.9, AM 1480, WSAR. To join the conversation, call 508-673-1480. That's 508-673-1480.
Welcome back. Welcome back to our program at Calvary Cares radio station on 1480 AM. As you know, my name is Curtis Dias. I'm the president of Calvary Cares Drop-In Center. We're a program that helps people get off cocaine, crack, heroin, alcoholism, of all that. And we discuss about the trees of addiction. What are the roots of addictions of all kind? And what's the soul of addiction? Nobody wakes up with a needle in their arm or a crack pipe in their mouth or, you know, rolling up a blunt for smoking some reefer. So, Sean, earlier before our break, we're talking about being a Cape Verdean and our culture and how we were exposed to alcoholism in an early age. And I was addicted at the age of 13. And I always seen people drinking in the projects, smoking reefer. It was part of the custom. It was, it was a cool thing to do. But there's a lot of people in our community from Fall River and Berkeley and Dighton and Freetown and Taunton and surrounding areas. And the mothers and fathers said, how do my children get addicted? What is the root of addiction? And sometimes we say it's because they've been physical abuse or spiritual abuse or sexually abused or emotionally abused. Some people, get addicted because they can't handle the fear, the loneliness, and shame. And sometimes it's easy to go into alcoholism or cocaine use because it's euphoric, it's wonderful in the beginning of the situation, and it suppresses their hurt. Some people will get involved with substance abuse, I find personally, because they have mental health issues. A lot of people deal with depression, listlessness, confusion. They're fearful, they're nervous, they're jumpy, and they're dealing with stress and pressure of all kind. So they deal with alcoholism and drug abuse of all kind. So Sean, for those that's listening, they're wondering, is there any hope for any individuals that came up like us and they deal with the roots of addiction because of physical abuse, spiritual abuse, or emotional abuse, or any abuse? Can you tell us your experience and your background before you got into the halls? How was your life, and how did you know to go to the halls, and did you go to detox? Why don't you tell a story for people that's there that might have a son and daughter that was in the same situation that you were in? Would you please tell the people that's listening to the program?
Okay, so I'm back again. Kurt, back then, May 4th, 14th, 1988, my life was in a shambles. You know what I mean? I was bottoming and out, spiraling out of control. We had a lot of stuff going on at that time. But to my benefit, I had you had clean a couple of years before me, and I watched you change. You know what I mean? I watched God use you, but I never had that peace to me. I never had that spiritual peace, that religious peace to me. I've always had like that spiritual peace, but I never really had that spiritual peace that I needed. Mm-hmm. And then when I got into the program, they told me that's really going to be necessary for you to advance, is find a God of your understanding or misunderstanding, but you need to find a God. And at that time in my life was such a mess. Mom's always been religious, and we grew up in the church and stuff, so I always knew right from wrong. I always knew that there was a better life. I chose to take the path that I chose. No one else. You know what I mean? I've always been given good advice.
And what was the path that you chose? What was the path you chose?
Self-destruction. You know what I mean? You were on that same path. You just chose to get off it before me.
But you did you did very well. You graduated high school.
Yeah.
You played football all your life, right? Yeah, I mean, you won championships with football leagues and stuff like that. So you tell the people, man, you always work. Was you a working alcoholic? Or when did you start drinking? When did you start getting high? Or did you get high?
Well, I can tell you about the two different paths, you know what I mean? Because we took two different paths. Not that you were just as good of an athlete as I was, you know what I mean? You just didn't have the same opportunities. And I had this one coach, Frank Almeida, and he was like a father to me. He loved me before I could love myself. And he really looked out for the best of me, and he really taught me how to excel. And he changed the standard for me. Back then, Taunton High would let you choose your own classes. So I'd go there, and I'd get together with my guidance counselor, and I would take all these fundamental classes. Well, Frank called them fun-to-be-mental classes. He always thought I had so much more to offer, and he wouldn't let me take those classes. He'd always force me to go take all these academic classes that were way over my head, so I thought. But he explained it this way: an A plus in that fundamental. Let me slow down. An A plus in these fundamental classes mean nothing compared. He'd rather have me get a C plus in the academic classes than an A plus in the fundamental classes, because he felt like I was just having fun to be mental there. Mm-hmm. That I didn't have to apply myself. That it came easy to me. So he would change all my classes in the beginning of the year, and I would resent them for it. back then, you know what I mean? Because I had to maintain a C-plus or better in order to play football for him. And, and I wanted to play football. Football played such a big part of my life because I watched all the kids in the projects like you who got away from football and from sports. Not at your own fault, only because the school didn't want you to play in football with your marks and stuff like that. So they shunned a lot of youth kids off because you didn't have the marks and you didn't get the opportunity to get caught up in sports and keep yourself active. That was my out, was football, and I was really good at it. I was only really good at it because I watched you before me and I watched Warren before me, and I wanted to be just like you guys, if not better, you know. And I always felt that was my out. Football kept me in school. I was able to graduate with my graduating class when I was supposed to because I couldn't afford to stay back. Mm-hmm. That wasn't an option for me. Frank wouldn't allow that. You know what I mean? I had to graduate when my graduating class was, and I'm glad he invested that time in me, you know?
So when did you start dabbling? I know they got burnouts in school, and they got the jocks in school. When did you start dabbling, into drugs and alcohol? Did you hang out with the burnouts?
We didn't have to. We had a full bar in our cellar. We had a beautiful bar down in our cellar, and it started there, you know, all those Fleischmann bottles. I'm quite sure you drank out of that and replaced it with water and diluted it so Dad wouldn't find out. Mm-hmm. So it started in the house. And growing up in the projects, it was nothing. You wanted to be like all the other guys, drinking Boone's Farm and smoking weed, and you had access to all that sex. You wanted to be like the older guys in the projects. That's all you saw. You wanted to be cool like them. You wanted to smoke weed. You had access to all of it. You know what I mean? And everybody was doing it, so you saw nothing wrong in it.
So when you had access to it, was it euphoric in the beginning, or what happened? Did you get addicted to it? Did you get hooked to it? Did it enhance your education or your personality, or did it bring you down?
Okay, brings all of us down, you know what I mean? I never knew who I was supposed to be in society. I knew what drugs and alcohol made me be and what I was supposed to be out in the street, but I never got to know me, the person. I was never introduced to me. Not until I got into ad care did one counselor say to me, first of all, the first counselor I ran into, he said I had a snowball's chance in hell of staying clean because I had a bad attitude. Little did he know, I was really paying attention. I just didn't want to come off like I was hurting. I was sick inside. I was at my bottom.
Now, you said it was 1988, right?
Yeah,
you
know, May 14th, 1988.
All right. And now, and to this day, how many years have you been clean and sober and everything else?
You know, I stopped counting days. I gave up, and I keep it in a day because it's not about what I did last week or what I did 2 weeks ago. I can't stay clean on yesterday's recovery.
Right.
It's about all of what I do today. What am I willing to do today to stay clean?
Now, if it's some people that's listening and has sons and daughters that were in bondage with you, and you know, and you're all messed up psychologically, mentally, emotionally, and did the drugs control you, or did you control the drugs?
I haven't seen anybody yet they ever control drugs. You know what I mean? If so, I'm staying away from you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I haven't yet to see anybody master this thing called drug addiction.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, I got in there like everybody else on the pain train. A lot of times I don't go into my drug log and my story and stuff because there's a lot of pain and a lot of dysfunction. And you guys will get a lot out of it on the other side and hear my story and stuff. But what you won't see is when I leave here, I'm almost having a nervous breakdown, reliving all that nightmare, you know, because it's real to me because I had to live it, you know. And I don't want to go back there, and nor do I have to, because the program has taught me this. You know what I mean? I never have to go back to that lifestyle again. It's all about choices.
Now, tell them, people, if they have sons and daughters in the community, tell them the program that you went to, and was it excellent? Did it meet your needs? Did they teach you anything?
Nowadays, there's wonderful programs amongst the spectrum, you know what I mean? You'll hear me toot the horn for AdCare because AdCare saved my life. AdCare at that time was built by other people who had lived it. All the doctors were ex-addicts. They had lived their life's experiences, and best who knows than the person who lived that drama, you know what I mean? So I went there, and from the beginning, they kept on telling me, we're going to introduce you to somebody real cool in this program, somebody you probably haven't seen in a while, And little did I know that the cool person they were talking about introducing them to would be myself.
Well, that's great.
They introduced me to me. I didn't know who I was supposed to be. I knew what I was supposed to be out in the streets. I knew what drugs and alcohol had made me become, but I didn't know what I stood up for as a man.
Now, when you went to the program, how long did you stay in the program? at a time, and did you go to a home group right after that?
Yes.
Tell the people.
I had everything in place before I even went into detox. My home group is the Sunday Night Backdoor Group, and I haven't been there in a minute, but it will always be my home group. It will always hold my heart. That's where I see
them. And where's that located?
Martin Hospital. Right in Taunton. One of the oldest and most established NA meetings in this area by far. Mm-hmm. And we pride ourselves in having some good quality men and women leading that meeting to help other people. And throughout the years, we brought in so many of our close friends that we grew up, that we used with, that saw us get clean, whether it was Kyle Fisher getting clean before me and me following Kyle's footsteps. Kyle was this great football star in Taunton and stuff like that, and he had what I wanted. He got clean a couple of years before me, and I watched him from a distance. And I watched him get clean. So when I got clean, I asked him to be my sponsor. His brother's my best friend. Why not ask him and make it easy for me? And I followed him. I did the same meetings he went to. I mocked him, and I mocked other people in the program who were doing stuff with their life that were achieving stuff. Now, one thing about the program, you got to be careful. When you go into the program, not everybody's there for recovery. Some are there just for nonsense. You know what I mean? And if they continue going to the program, don't worry. After a while, the program will, you'll hear something, whether you want to or not. So for whatever reason you get into these programs, just go in there, sit down, shut up, sit up front, listen. You know what I mean? You don't have all the answers. You know.
Do you recommend a newcomer, if they go and start the program, how many meetings do you recommend a month? Or, you know, do you recommend having sponsors, home groups?
I recommend. It's just the way the program's laid out. If you do the program the way it's out, and you do the steps the way it's out, without taking shortcuts, without just, I'll do this step, and I'll do step one seems to be okay, and step three seems to be fun, I could do that. But I don't want to do step four because I don't want to change, and I definitely don't want to do step 12. So when you start picking and choosing what you want to do, it's never going to work. So you know what I mean?
So people, listen, do you believe in the STEP program?
Yeah, I believe in using it the way it's been laid out, exactly the way it's out. There's a reason why step one is step one and two, three. It's a progression. You need to go by the steps the way that they're laid out if you want to be successful.
So there's some people in our community that's listening to the program. They say, I got a son and daughter that's addicted. How do I get involved into these steps and, you know, in these fellowships and all that stuff? Why don't you educate them? What is a step to?
First of all, being a parent now, knowing what I know, and if my kid was stuck in addiction, I would probably start off with educating myself, whether it's in Al-Anon and one of these other programs that they have for the adults, to learn what I'm getting into and how to handle my loved one or my child, what advice to give them, what tough love to give them, when to give it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When to say no. Mm-hmm. Enough is enough, you know what I mean? And you've created this. You need to get your act together, you know what I mean? I'm not the one addicted. You are. You need the help.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So that's good. Now that you've been free or delivered or sober or clean, whatever terminology it is, what's the benefits of it now compared to when you were in bondage and enslavement of the addiction? And not only addiction, alcoholism. You ever do any chemicals in your day? Do you ever you ever do any window pane or acid or, you know, cocaine? Cocaine in my day, it was real, and people don't want to talk about it, you know.
This guy kills me. We come up on this radio station my second time doing it, and he's asking me these questions like he wasn't right beside me. You know what I mean? Living the same nightmare. So he to put it all on me, to put all my dirt out there, which is fine. You know what I mean? But
no,
you were no bargain either.
No, I tell people freely, I was addicted to cocaine, crack, alcoholism, window pane, mescaline, angel dust.
I'm not going to come on this radio and allow you to swing this any way you want. You were a piece of work, and you were in the grips of your worst addictions, and I've watched you overcome it, and I watch you become the man that you are, and it's because of the foundation that you had growing up as a kid. You know what I mean? In order for these programs to work, you have to have something to build off of. You know what I mean? I've seen a lot of people come in and really have some mental issues. I'm not a faith healer. You got to give me something to work with so I can help you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Same thing with the program. You got to come in there willingness and have that willingness to change. It's not like I'm going to sprinkle this magic wiffle duff over your head and everything's going to be okay. You got to put the work in.
When we talk about substance abuse and addiction and stuff like that, many people say it's a disease. Do you believe it? Substance abuse and alcoholism and all that? Do you find it in your professional expertise as you went through? Do you find that substance abuse is a disease?
Yeah, it's a disease which is no known cure. You know what I mean? But it can be arrested. You can get your life together. I could rattle off names for days of people who've taken their life and reworked it through the fellowship of NA, and it's worked out. You know what I mean? I don't stick around NA just because I had nothing better else to do. They were changing my life. You know what I mean? And I was reaping the results. My job was telling me that I became a better person. I became a better father. I was to be there, present for my kid. You know what I mean? And lead by example.
So a lot of people says your disease is always attacking you. You know, when I was an alcoholic, they said, "Hi, my name's Curtis. I'm an alcoholic, and it was a disease." And I read a poem I want to read before I had to go to commercial. It says, "Hi, I'm your disease. I hate God in meetings. I hate a higher power. I hate anyone who has a program. To all who come in contact with me, I wish you death and suffering. Allow me to introduce myself. I am your disease of alcoholism and addiction. I'm cunning, baffled, powerful. That's me. I kill millions, and I'm well pleased. I love to catch you by surprise and elements. I love pretending that I'm your friend and your lover. I have given you comfort. Have I not? Haven't I taken care of you?" He says, "Your program, your meetings, your higher power, your God all weakens me, and I cannot function the manner accustomed to. I must lie quietly. You do not see me, but I'm growing bigger and bigger. I'm lifting weights and doing push-ups. I'm running marathons so I can keep up with you now while you run away from me. For when you only exist, I may live. When you live, I only exist. But I'm here until we meet again. If we meet again, I wish you nothing but death and destruction. I'm your disease." Do you find that to be true in people's life that we deal with?
It's all true. You know what I mean? All this literature that you read from NA and stuff like that, it's really thought out well, and it's usually built on pain.
We ask you to come. Call 508-673-1480, 508-673-1480 if you have any questions, if you want to just call in to the studio. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to Calvary Cares, hosted by Curtis Dias, president of the Calvary Care Center in East Freetown. On FM 95.9, AM 1480, WSAR. To join the conversation, call 508-673-1480. That's 508-673-1480.
Welcome back to Calvary Cares Radio Hour. And I thank you for listening to our program. Hey, the purpose of me coming on and just sharing the there's hope for those addicted in our community. And we just want to give you a special invitation. If you need any assistance, any help, any guidance, educational aspect of it, we invite you to drop in at Calvary Cares Drop-In Center located 33 Burley Road in East Freetown. We'd be more than happy to help you, to assist you, as we told you, with health insurance navigation, harm reduction services, mental health counseling, recovery culture, overdose education, Narcan distribution, peer-to-peer support groups, medication for opiate use disorder. We believe in MAPS. MAPS, as you know, is medical-assisted treatment, therapy, or behavior. We believe there's many pathways to come into recovery. As we were talking earlier to Sean, you know, I came the pathway through the church and through the Word of God. And how can a young man keep his ways pure? How can he stay off cocaine, crack, heroin, alcoholism? For me, it was living according to the Word of God. And I did cold turkey, and I did the 15-month program. And Sean went through the halls, and I believe in the halls of NA and AA and the 12-step programs and Celebrate Recovery. I believe in Monarch House. I believe in Stepping Stone. I believe in High Point. I believe in, you know, AdCare. I even believe in the Poor Man's Rehabilitation Center, the House of Correction in Dartmouth, and also in Ash Street Jail. I believe it has saved many people's life. So if you have a son and daughter and you need help and you want to be educated, at Calvary Care, all throughout the whole year, we do some excellent things. We do workshops once a month on overcoming opiate use disorder and also Narcan training. We do mental health counseling, overcoming stress, anxiety, and fear. We do workshops on suicide prevention and many other subjects like that. So if you ever need us or assist us, well, you know, feel free to call on us. Sean works as a recovery coach within the Calvary Cares drop-in center. And Sean, why don't you tell the audience that's listening all throughout the community, so what are some of the works that you do with individuals in our community? Then how have you been helping? I know we help out senior citizen, council, aging, veterans of all kind, and individuals. Give us a couple of stories of what you've been doing in the last month.
Well, the drop-in center itself, it's a blessing in itself. About a year and a half ago, Curtis had a heart attack, and it was a scare. And in the meantime, I'm a home alone, retired, on my couch, with a lot of knowledge in a lot of different areas. And I started feeling guilty. I'm just like, I got to get off this couch and give him a hand. Because if you know my brother, anything he touches is going to be first class, first of all. But he just goes and goes and goes, and he wears himself down, and he doesn't think anybody could do it better than him, so he'll do it himself. But I had to take a good look at that. I came out of retirement to help support the drop-in center, and we're totally independent than the church, because Curtis has more than enough stuff to do with his church, whether it's weddings and funerals and all that stuff. That would keep a normal man busy enough in his lifestyle where he wouldn't have the time to take on added responsibilities such as a drop-in center. But he did it. And, I've been involved in a few different projects with Curtis, whether it's Celebrate Recovery, developing a 12-step spiritual program from the ground, doing it with Kurt to make it one of the biggest ones in this area and very productive. So I know how you work. I know how you roll. And I like getting involved with my brother because his heart's always in the right place and for the right reasons. So we do it all. My job at the drop-in center is basically a fireman. I'm putting out fires left and right and just addressing, helping people along the way the best we can. I'll give you a couple of examples. I have a close friend of mine who's a vet. He was getting the veterans runaround for probably a couple of years, and housing was a big part of it. And my friend doesn't do well with the speech. He has a speech impediment, and at times he gets frustrated, and most likely he'll end up telling you about yourself by the end of the conversation. And that was getting him absolutely nowhere. So I stepped in as his recovery coach to Calvary Cares, and I became his mouthpiece. And I'm glad to say my friend's in a brand-new apartment in Boston. It is gorgeous. He has all the support systems and everything in place that he needs to become productive.
How long did it take you for you to get housing for him and him to be secure? Because he basically was homeless at the time, sleeping on people's couches, right?
You know, you gave me the definition of homeless, because I used to say, Eddie will never be homeless as long as he's with me. He's got a place to stay. And then you gave me the definition of Massachusetts homelessness. And I said, matter of fact, Eddie is homeless. You know what I mean? We always have a laugh at somebody's expense. But in the meantime, we're doing wonderful things and getting people back their lives, you know what I mean?
So tell the people about the housing. What kind of housing was you able to acquire for him, and how is he doing now?
Well, I had to learn how to play the game. First of all, I started doing some research. AI is wonderful, you know what I mean? What's out there for the vets, what to expect. And then they started lying to me, and, well, I don't want to say lying, that's a hard word. They started not telling me the truth. How's that? You know what I mean? So I had to get other people involved, going over other people's head in order to get results. You know what I mean? And I'm glad to say we did after a long
time. Tell us some of the results you did from him. He was homeless. He was sleeping on people's couches, his aunt's couches and stuff. And what does he have in place now?
He has a beautiful, beautiful place. It's a Brighton Marina. If you're a veteran and you need some housing, if you could get into this Brighton Marine, and I'm willing to introduce you to people, that's a facility that you want to be in. You talk about state-of-the-arts, everything. But it's real hard to get into. It seems like they want to keep the certain beds for certain people that is not open to everybody.
When you say state-of-the-arts, everything, the people wonder, what is a state-of-the-arts?
Support systems. They have AA meetings that come in directly into the program. They have social workers. They have psychologists, psychiatrists that work right out of that building. They have recreation pool tables, computers to learn computer skills.
Mm-hmm.
They have a gymnasium to die for. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They also have a luncheon area where they make lunches for the vets, and you could pay vets prices to get like a sub in the middle of the afternoon.
How long did it take you from the time you first advocated for them to now to achieve that goal, that where you're safe and secure, he got a place to lay his head, he got mass health, he got everything in place?
For the last 5 months I've been working on Eddie's case. Mm-hmm. And I can honestly say that he's exactly where I would want him to be, right at the place. It took a lot of work. I basically have to put my life on hold in my interest in what I got going on to help them.
So, Sean, so part of your role at Calvary Cares, if it's people in the community that are veterans and they're homeless and stuff, can they come to visit you so you can help them, shepherd them in that manner?
We have an intake packet where mm-hmm. you come in and you tell us what your needs are, what areas that you might be struggling, and then we try to find answers to try to help you in those areas.
How about if somebody that's addicted to cocaine or crack or alcoholism or, you know, substance abuse, are you able to assist them too and help them in that capacity?
My time is valuable, so I'm going to sit down and have a real talk with you. What mm-hmm. are you willing to do to mm-hmm. save your life? You know what I mean? I know what I can do to help you, but I can only bring you to the water. You can only bring the horse to the water. You know what I mean? But you're going to have to do some work, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in this situation. You are. What are you willing to do? I'll guide you, and I'll steer you in the right direction, and I'll walk you through it. But the effort's got to come from you.
Yeah, but how about if it's parents that's listening and says, you know, I'm not educated. I don't have the terminology. I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed that my family's addicted. Could they come to you and sit with you, and could you lead them and direct them in the right path?
All I know is being a parent, don't give up on your kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what would happen if Ma would have gave up on us? You know mm-hmm. what I mean? It's just like, that's one thing we never had to worry about, is the support and the love from our family members. We knew we always had that. We knew we were living wrong. You know, we always knew. Don't give up on your kids. But at the same time, don't enable them. Don't let them BS you. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. and tell you that sky is gray when you really know it's blue. You know, it's, mm-hmm. it's just like, you got to call them on them because you love them. You got to call them on that. That tough love is hard to do.
Even though I come from a good background family that loved me, I still was addicted to my drugs. I still was laying in my urine. I was still, you know, picking up crack, you know, lint balls and stuff like that.
That was your choice.
Yeah,
No time did Dad or Ma ever tell us this would be a good idea,
no,
that we should go down this road.
But that's my disease and my addiction and my sinful life.
And we paid the price.
And there might be a lot of people in the community come from good backgrounds, working families and all that, and they're wondering, how did my family get involved with this, you know? And they're embarrassed, they have a stigma, and they're suffering in silence. They say, how did it happen to me? Why my sons and daughter in that manner?
No, it's more embarrassing burying your son or burying your daughter because you chose not address the actual problem. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? It's right there, right in front of us. It's always easier just, my kid's different or whatever. No, your kid's an addict, just like everybody else. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And he needs to take these certain steps. NA is very simple. It will be what you put into it. NA, if you put a little into it, don't worry. You'll get very little out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you put a lot into it, you really put your soul, it will change your life.
Mm-hmm.
Despite yourself. I've been many meetings where these guys come in. They want nothing to do with recovery. But if you keep on messing around with these halls, eventually you're going to hear something. Something's going to stick.
So I like the halls. I like the new pathways to recovery. I love NA. I love CA. I like AA. I mean, they're all good programs, 12-step program. I'm big into faith-based myself, Salvation Army, yeah, in different aspects. And I'm big into Calvary Cares, drop-in center. If you need to be educated or empowered or just somebody to talk to, we have people who have degrees, a master's degree in mental health counseling. And as you know, we are supported by the Bureau of Substance Abuse, where we've been supported by Boston Medical Center and everything like that. So we not only want to help our people mentally, psychologically, and emotionally, but sometimes in our community, Sean, the people are starving with food also. Dan, will you tell a little bit things that you how you help our people with Calvary Cares Farmers Market?
You know, Calvary Cares, we do a lot of wonderful things, especially with the Farmers Market. But I'm a firm believer, too, in helping the working poor. There's a lot of people who are working poor, who work 40 hours and still have food insecurities. So I have no problem taking them. If anything, I welcome them to help them, because they'll be the ones who remember who was there when they needed it the most. And those are the same people that will give back to somebody else.
Sean's trying to describe Calvary Cares Drop-In Center. We not only do mental health counseling, as I told you earlier, but one thing we do, we have Calvary Cares Drop-In Center, and we have a farmer's market every Thursday from 12 o'clock on. And we give out free food to senior citizens, council agents, veterans, I mean, any family that's in need of food. And we give out excellent food and throughout the whole week. Let me give you an example of some food that we passed out this week. Red Bliss potatoes. We gave out onions, we gave out carrots, we gave out steaks, hamburgers, chicken, we gave out rice and beans, macaroni and cheese. I mean, we even gave out some lobster bisque from Legal Seafood, and was all free of charge. So Calvary Cares not only helps out with substance abuse and addictions of all kinds, in Sean's case with veterans and housing, but also food insecurity. And Sean, how many hundreds of people do you help out and assist on a weekly basis?
Last week, 237 families that we supported. We're talking from soup to nuts, from poultry to vegetables to everything. Everything that you'll go grocery shopping for.
Mm-hmm.
We did 237 families just this week, and this was a slow week because of the snow.
Mm-hmm. So Calvary Cares Drop-In Center, we come on every week for our radio program, and the way we named it is Calvary Cares. So Calvary Cares Drop-In Center, Calvary Cares Farmers Market, Calvary Cares Radio Hour. And we just want you to know that we care for you and your family and your sons and daughters. And we're trying to tell you there is hope. As for me, God freed me mentally, psychologically, emotionally, and spiritually from the bondage of addiction of alcoholism, November 28, 1986, never to smoke another cigarette, never smoke no Newports, and you know, never drank anything and all that. And God delivered me November 28, 1986 into now. And I'm 66 years of age. So we telling you, if you come from Fall River, Lakeville, Freetown, Berkeley, Dighton, in all the surrounding communities, and Taunton, there's hope for you. And if you want your sons and daughters to be free, there's many pathways so you can be free, to be free from drugs and alcohol. So we come on every single week, and we try to give you hope. You don't have to be embarrassed. You don't have to be ashamed. There's hope for you and your children at Calvary Cares Drop-In Center. Sean, we only got one more minute left. Is there anything you want to say to the people that's out there?
All I want to just say one more example of what we do. I had a situation where a family member had been disassociated from his family for the last 30 years and just recently decided to come back and be reunited with his family. And I'm glad to say that today we spent the afternoon with Rick and his family to get them in. All those misconceptions, all those fears, doubts, and insecurities that he thought he had going on, it was the total opposite. They welcomed him with open arms, and it was a big love fest, and all his fears and what he thought was going to happen didn't happen. And that's the type of stuff that we want to do. That's the stuff that we're going to continue to do, putting lives back together, putting families back together, fixing things.
In Calvary Cares, you know, reaching lost at any cost, touching one person's life at a time. If you need any help, any directions, feel free to call me at Calvary Cares, 508-763-8343. You listen to Calvary Cares Radio program every Saturday from 3 to 4. Feel free to call us and look on our website. We're here to help you to reach the lost at any cost. And if God can do it for Sean and I, he can surely do it for you and your children. All right. Be blessed. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you for listening to Calvary Cares radio station on 1480 AM. God bless you. Bye-bye. Thank you for everything. All right. Oh, thank you. Hey, listen, my name is Curtis Dias. I am from Calvary Cares Drop-In Center. Feel free to call me at 508-763-8343. Thank you.